Welcome to the Sportscast, August 11th, 2023. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, and Apple Podcast. You can also listen to us on your smart speaker. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, please leave a rating and review. It will help us out tremendously. We're also on online digital radio. You can listen to us there. Also, visit our website, thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net. And of course, you can use our app for iOS. You can get it in the Apple App Store. The Premier League begins today. Manchester City versus Burnley, or Burnley versus Man City. And the Premier League is probably, in my opinion, the best soccer league in the world. And joining us today is Asa Smith from Touchdowns and Touchlines and Touch Hounds podcast. Asa, it's been a while. Welcome back.
Happy to be back. Football starts today in the British sense of the word. American football started, I guess, like last week with the Hall of Fame game, but I don't count preseason NFL because I have my limits as a sicko. But yeah, excited to get another season started. And as a Tottenham fan, this last like 48 hours has been miserable. So that's great. You caught me at the perfect time.
Yeah, let's start with that. This morning there was rumors that Harry Kane took a plane to Munich, Germany to take a medical for Bayern Munich. That's not guaranteed. But what are your thoughts over that and a potential possibility that Kane is leaving Tottenham?
So Kane's gone. The medical apparently is completely pro forma, unless they find something ridiculous, which they won't. He's gone for 100 million. I don't know if it was 100 million euros, 100 million pounds, or $100 million. Regardless,
I heard 110.
110 was being thrown around. Add-ons gets it up to 120, according to some people. It's not clear right now, but he is gone. So the situation in North London, at least the Tottenham part of North London, sketchy. But, you know, it also gives you a lot of opportunities. I mean, the team has sort of been built around Harry Kane for 4 or 5 years. And a lot of the issues with the squad were never really addressed after that Champions League loss in 2019. Mauricio Pochettino talked about it a lot. But this gives us an opportunity to sort of move on. It does leave sort of a massive hole in quality and talent, because you're now relying out a whole bunch of sort of B plus level players. So hopefully that money will be reinvested quickly. Tottenham definitely needs a new center back, probably needs a new midfielder, definitely needs a new guy up top. So we're hopeful, but you know, for those of us who have enjoyed watching Harry Kane score a lot of goals over the last call it 5 years, it's a big deal.
Which that leaves us question marks. Who will take that role for Harry Kane up top? Obviously, you got Son, you got Richarlison, but who is the go-to now to score these goals for Tottenham?
So I think it's probably Richarlison for the time being. I wouldn't be shocked if we have a situation where it's sort of by collective. And I think that that's the best you can do, you know, scoring by committee. Even with Kane, right? People sort of who don't watch a ton of Harry Kane would have told you he's a sort of a traditional, you know, press the back line striker. Get in the box, but that's not really what he did that was so special, right? What was so special about him was that he was able to drop deep and disorganize opponents from sort of a traditional number 10. So I think that given Kulusevski's abilities there, given James Maddison, who's obviously a new signing, given his ability there, as well as, you know, some of your options off the bench, like Manar Solomon, I think that they can do it in the aggregate. And I think having a coach who's a little more on the front foot, I'm not even going to pronounce his name. I don't even know. But Ange, whatever.
Postecoglou.
Yeah, great. AP. We're going to call him AP. Coach AP. Angelos. He's more of a front foot type of guy. You know, you saw throughout the preseason that there was goals to be had. So you sort of hope that you can do it in the aggregate. You can collectively put that together. You know, if they go out and spend that 100 million immediately on a serious striker, I don't think that would be a terrible move either. But if in my ideal world, you take 50 million of that, you go get a starting caliber center back, and you use the other 50 on another attacker.
There you have it. We'll see how much money Tottenham gets for Harry Kane. He'll be missed. I think him going to the Bundesliga, Asa. I don't know, it feels like it's too early.
He's going to score so many goals.
Yeah, and he'll have an opportunity to win a trophy of any sort.
Yeah. 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 First of all, I've done.
Yeah, I would love to for him to stay in the Premier League, but, you know.
He'll be back.
He'll be back eventually. He's only, 29, I believe?
He turns 30 this year.
30, yeah. So he's in that pinnacle line.
I mean, look, from a Spurs perspective, right? And you have, that's sort of how I have to look at it. He didn't resign on a new contract, which means you have to get money for him. He's aging out. He is 3 years past the prime for an attacker, right? And he's still an elite player. He's still probably the best striker, the best English striker, right? Not by Premier League, but by nationality. And certainly he's the best striker that Spurs could have had this year. Having said all of that, you know, you do have a situation at Spurs over the last couple of years where they have held on to people for too long. And they have not moved guys along who needed to be moved along till far too late, and they lost their value. So getting 100 million in the last year of a 30-year-old's contract is amazing. As for Harry Kane, I mean, look, he's gonna win a trophy tomorrow, right? They play Leipzig, or Sunday. They play Leipzig in their version of the, you know, Community Shield. And he'll win that, and he'll win the Bundesliga, and he'll win, you know, whatever else there is to win in Germany, because Bayern Munich is a machine that is sort of without stop. So as for Kane, he'll score 30 goals. He'll be really happy. He'll be very successful. And in 2 years, he'll come back and play for Manchester United. And that'll be that.
Yeah, which that was rumored a couple of years ago. So that would not be a surprise if he goes to Manchester. All right, so let's go into the preview. Obviously, we previewed Tottenham a bit. Let's start with Man City. They have lost a few players. They lost Gundogan. They also lost Riyad Mahrez to Saudi Arabia. But they added Josko Gvardiol and Mateo Kovacic. Your thoughts over this Manchester's side? Do you think they'll win it again, or let's wait and see here?
Until and unless things change, Manchester City will win the Premier League. You at this point of the year, right, August 11th, you cannot predict anybody to win the Premier League other than Manchester City. It is improper to do so. Just you look at it and you say, yeah, they lost Riyad Mahrez. That they lose, you know, they lost Ilkay Gundogan, and that's terrible and that's awful. Oh dear, what are they going to do? I guess they'll just have to rely on Jack Grealish and Phil Foden and Erling Haaland and Mateo Kovacic and Kyle Walker and like you go down the list, right? And it's like, oh, I guess they just have to rely on the best player at every position that they possibly can. When you talk about them as a squad, they don't have weaknesses. And if they did have weaknesses, Pep would come up with some weird formation that makes it so that they don't have weaknesses. Like we saw last year, he was running a 3-2-4-1, which is like very weird. And nobody really knew what to do with it. Oh, by the way, they have an $100 million midfielder who they didn't use last year. Straight up did not use Calvin Phillips. And so like you go through it and you say like, oh, okay, yes, maybe they'll have a problem. But oh, by the way, I haven't mentioned the best player in the Premier League, Kevin De Bruyne. So yes, they did lose players. They have cycled people out. Ilkay Gundogan had a lot of big goals for them. And this year, those goals will be scored by, I don't know, Cole Palmer.
He scored in the Community Shield. Yeah, it was a good goal.
Yeah. And like Julian Alvarez, who cares? It's Manchester City is an example of like, you know, I obviously, given what I do and given my point of view, like I always compare things to college football. This is Alabama when they're home. It's like, oh no, they lost Jerry Jeudy. What are they going to do? I don't know. Put in Jameson Williams.
Like, yep. That was going to back up somewhere.
Like they'll figure it out. It'll be fine. The biggest question I have with Man City is that as a coach, and I don't know if I've said this on this podcast, but I coach basketball. That's what I do. It's really hard to be a coach for a really long time. It's really hard to have people listen to you for a really long time and not get stale. And Pep, I don't know that he has the fire. I mean, he just won everything, right? Like his fire was winning the Champions League. Well, he did it. So now what, you know, it's not, Michael Jordan always said like the hardest title is not the first one. It's the second one.
Yeah.
Because you're really hungry. You're scraping, you're clawing, you're trying to climb. It's really hard to defend that. Now, it doesn't matter because they're so much more talented than literally everybody else. But, I think you look at Man City and you say, okay, they have the best center back in the Premier League in Ruben Diaz. They got the best young center back in the transfer market for $100 million in Gvardiol. They have Kyle Walker, who's an elite right back. They have João Cancelo, who's an elite left back. They have, you know, Calvin Phillips, who's an elite six. They have De Bruyne and Silva, who are elite eights or tens. And then, you know, on the wings, you have Foden and Grealish, I guess. Or you can put Kovacic in the middle and put Silva out wide. Okay, you've got elites there. And then up top, you have the best striker in the world.
Which has not scored in six matches.
He'll be fine. I promise you, he'll be fine.
There's also rumors that West Ham's Paqueta might join Man City. They're just trying to negotiate the price, but do you think that would be a huge addition?
Yes and no, but it's like a huge addition in the sense that, like, again, I'm going to go back to it. When Georgia adds the number one corner in the recruiting, right? Or when last year when Alabama had Jahmyr Gibbs, right, joined out of the transfer portal, and he was the number one running back. And you were like, yeah, that's a big deal. But also, is it because they were going to win 10 games regardless anyways? And for Man City, it's like, if Paqueta comes, yeah, they get a lot better. But, like, there's a delta here above which you cannot really get that much better because there's only so many minutes, right? Again, Calvin Phillips didn't play last year. Rico Lewis might take over the right back job. You know, Kyle Walker was rumored to be leaving anyways. There are only so many minutes in a season, and they play all the competition. Everybody will get their minutes, but like, I'm not that concerned if Man City doesn't get him because who cares?
Yeah,
it's
they'll be fine or without him.
Right, they'll be fine.
So let's look at the other clubs in the Premier League. Let's go with Liverpool. They lost Jordan Henderson, which I'm not too sad about. To Saudi Arabia, but they've added Alexis McAllister, World Cup winner from Brighton, and playmaker Dominique Szoboszlai from Germany's RB Leipzig. I forgot to mention this. Well, let me mention this now. Caicedo was rumored to go to Liverpool yesterday. Now, today, he's thinking about, well, he wants to go to Chelsea instead. But how do you see this Liverpool squad? They look a little bit more younger, you know, and we got Luis Diaz back. But can this Liverpool squad finish in the top four?
Can they finish in the top four? Yes. So about Caicedo, very funny. It's upsetting from an American perspective, because it means, well, not that upsetting, but Tyler Adams was going to go to Chelsea to be their sort of backup six. Caicedo comes, that pushes Santos into the backup six role. Tyler Adams moves to Chelsea, collapses, which is fine because I have no love for Chelsea and Chelsea can,
you know what,
go for a walk. but Caicedo to Liverpool would have been interesting. But I think Liverpool is going to be fine because I think that Trent Alexander-Arnold is a midfielder now, right? Like we saw it sort of towards the back half of last year. We saw it with the English national team. He's just a really good six, right? So you look at him and you say like, okay, can he destroy and cut things out behind Szoboszlai and McAllister? And yeah, he can. And up top, I mean, Man City notwithstanding, you're not going to find a better front line than Nunez, Diaz, and Salah, right? Like you're amazing. You're fine up there. So, and in the midfield, you know, you've got other options like the guys, you know, over at Kop and Fraco, which is something I'm vaguely associated with. They really like Curtis Jones. You know, you got Diogo Jota, who's still, you know, sort of capable of doing stuff. You have Harvey Elliott, you know, you've got options, Thiago, you know, but ultimately, you know, the bringing in McAllister, bringing in Szoboszlai, having Salah, having Diaz, having Nunez, you'll be fine. Again, I think that betting Liverpool to finish outside the top four 2 years in a row is not a good bet. I would not bet highly on that outcome. But you know, you got to play the games. You never know. Klopp teams have a tendency to start very slowly. He has been there for a very long time. This is the longest he's ever been at a single spot. Again, I mentioned, you know, about coaches and sort of overstaying your welcome. We'll see.
Always be a good thing.
Right. Like we'll see. We'll see. Salah and Klopp have been there together for a very, very long time. Start looking at players, you know, are certain players aging out in a way that you're not really ready for, right? Like, are you really going to start Virgil van Dijk and Andrew Robertson a significant amount of games? And if so,
aging
like,
van Dijk.
Right. Like, these are not young players anymore. Virgil van Dijk is probably 3 years removed from being sort of Virgil van Dijk best center back in the Premier League. So, you know, look, center backs don't age in dog years. They age gracefully, traditionally, but Van Dijk's had a lot of energies. I don't know. Are you really going to win a league or be top four with Joe Gomez and Joel Matip as your sort of two starting center backs? I don't know. We'll I don't know. Out. But I would not bet against them being top four. And I guess I'm getting ahead of myself. We'll get there. But
yeah, we'll get to the towards the end of the show. We'll be predicting the top four. And
Ibrahim Konate is very good. Also.
Yeah, I mean, I feel more confident with this Liverpool squad. I'm a huge supporter of Liverpool, so I'm more confident with Liverpool this year than last year. We're definitely freshen up the midfield a bit, and if we put Caicedo in the squad, that would be a huge boost as well. So we'll find out what happens the next few hours. We'll talk about Adams a little bit once we get to Chelsea. That's going to be an interesting situation. All right, Arsenal, they were first for most of the season, and they ran out of gas in April, you can say. They bring in Kyle Havertz, a little bit more strong up top. Declan Rice from West Ham. Jurrien Timber, Mikel Arteta's roster as kind of have a bit of a boost. Gabriel Jesus will not be playing in the first couple of weeks. This Arsenal squad is going to be a little bit better, but can they finish number one?
No. And also, here's hot take. Here's the thing to get clipped, right? Here's the thing to put on the Instagram. Declan Rice isn't good. Not just is he not 120 million good. He's not good. He doesn't help them. He doesn't make them a better team. I think that Declan Rice, if Declan Rice was named literally anything else, right? If he was named Diego Arroz, right? From Mexico, or if he was named Derek Ricer from America, wouldn't start. He does what, like, you look at him and you say, what does he do well? What does he do like at a high level? And look, obviously I'm being facetious. I'm a Tottenham fan. I don't like Arsenal, but I've always said, but look, go back and watch that World Cup game, right? Because a lot of the book on Declan Rice is that, like, yeah, he was at West Ham. So, like, what do you want from him? But go back and look at that World Cup game against America, right? A lot of our listeners are obviously probably either based in America or watched that game. He wasn't as good as Tyler Adams. And Tyler Adams is not an elite Premier League six. And Tyler Adams was better. Tyler Adams, Weston McKennie, and Yunus Musa outplayed Declan Rice, right? Each one of those were better than him on that day. And if you're talking about someone who's going to take a team from 2-1, right? He's not it. No. Kai Havertz, again, another player who I can tell you, like, I don't know what position he plays.
Yeah.
And that's sort of a problem for Arsenal, because Arsenal, Arteta really does love that 4-3-3. He'll run that 4-2-3-1 out a little bit, but he likes the 4-3-3. And if Kai, they were talking about Kai as a left-sided center mid. I don't think he gets stuck in enough. I don't think that he plays defense well enough. And we saw at Chelsea, he's not a center forward. So what does Kai Havertz bring to this team? Again, like you look at it and look, there's no denying that Bukayo Saka is a top, pick your number, right? Like top two, top three, top five, top 10 winger in both the Premier League and maybe the world, right? Like there's very few players I would rather have at right wing than Bukayo Saka. Across the world, right? Like you're talking about Leo Messi, Neymar, and maybe Saka, right? Like that might be the third option. Sorry, Carlos Vela is number three, LAFC forever. Number four is Bukayo Saka. But like, you know, Gabriel Martinelli on the left, very good. Jesus, when he comes back, that'll be fine. They're a good team. They are a good team.
Very good team.
They didn't get that much better, as far as I'm concerned. They didn't address their biggest flaws, which is they didn't have a proper striker, and they still don't. They don't have a great defense, right? There's a lot of belief in Saliba and Gabriel and Ramsdale. That sort of that triangle, right? Goalie to two center backs. I don't think any of them is special. Again, we're talking about relative here, right? Like I'm comparing them against a team that should be challenging for top of the table, compared to sort of the average Premier League. Yeah, they're going to be fine. They're going to be top seven for sure. They will be in Europe next year. But I don't think that they're a top 14. I don't think that they're a top 14. I don't think that their midfield is strong enough. I don't think that anything that they do up top is going to be terrifying through the center. And I think that they're ultimately going to be undone by the fact that their midfield is not going to be able to hang with the best midfields. Also they got rid of both of their Americans. So I don't even have to pretend to want them to do well anymore, which is great.
Matt Turner has been signed with Nottingham Forest. Potentially they might bring David Raya, which is a kind of a debate that he could be that number one keeper in Arsenal, because he isn't a number one keeper, and Ramsdale is number one right now. But do you think there'll be a goalkeeper issue or competition in Arsenal between Ramsdale and if they sign Raya into the Arsenal club?
It's a mid off, right? Like I don't think Raya is that good. And it's like, look, Ramsdale's good. When I say Ramsdale is good, I mean, Ramsdale is, you can win a league with Ramsdale, right? He's not going to win you a league. He's not going to go, you know, David De Gea 2018 or, you know, pick your guy, Alisson Becker 2019, but he's fine. He's fine. I don't think that David Raya moves the needle either. You know, Matt Turner moving on is good for both him and me, but that's not where they need to necessarily improve, right? They need to improve in their sort of, as far as I'm concerned, in their fullbacks, in their center backs, and in their defensive midfielders. You know, Thomas Partey and Jorginho, like, okay, okay, okay. But you can't play Jorginho without a strong defense, and they don't. As far as I'm concerned, they don't have a strong defense.
Matt Turner, Nottingham Forest. Oh, is that a good fit?
And Falarin Balogun is still there. Please free my boy.
Oh, that's right.
Send him across. Just send him across North London. Spurs will take him. We'll take him. 40 million right now.
I don't know why they won't keep him. I'm kind of interested why not.
Because they're an incompetently run franchise. Or not franchise. They're an incompetently run club. Inter Milan was willing to pay a lot of money for him, and they said no, because for some reason he's worth 60 million, but he's not good enough to get into their squad. Explain that to me. Those numbers don't compute. Either he's a $60 million striker, at which point start him over Jesus, or he's not and let him go. But like this sort of he's worth a lot, but not a lot thing makes no sense. But you asked about Matt Turner at Nottingham Forest. I think it's a great fit. I feel terrible for Ethan Horvath while we're here, who cannot get a job for some reason. But Matt Turner needs the ability to show that he is a number one in the Premier League. I think he is. I do think he is. But let's talk about Matt Turner has the most American story of all time. Like, dude was an elite baseball player, decided to play soccer in the middle of high school, walked on at a nothing school in Pennsylvania, Fairleigh Dickinson. Sorry. My apologies to Fairleigh Dickinson fans. Fairleigh Dickinson is in Teaneck, New Jersey. I think I got that right. I think that's where he went. He walks on there. He doesn't get drafted. Is an unsigned free agent in MLS. Just keeps working. And then, at some point, it's you look up and you're I'm a Premier League keeper. He didn't play at Fairleigh Dickinson. He played at Fairfield, which is in a completely different school. Fairleigh Dickinson, Teaneck, New Jersey, just beat Purdue, which is why I said that. Did I bring that up just to remind Purdue fans who may be listening that they lost to Fairleigh Dickinson in the first round of the NCAA tournament as a one seed? Yeah, I did. Hope you guys are doing well. Can't wait for basketball season.
Well, there you have it. Matt Turner, good for it in Nottingham. It would be a big test. I think he needed more playing time. Absolutely. Don't think there was much hope in Arsenal.
I think the thing is that they don't necessarily need what Matt Turner is, right? Matt Turner can't really shine on a team that has a ton of the ball because he's not elite with his feet, right? He's good. He's gotten a lot better. He's an elite shot stopper. So he sort of needs to be on a crummy team so that he can show that he can keep the ball out of the back of the net. So it'll be interesting with Nottingham Forest. I think that he'll be successful because I think he's a really, really great shot stopper, and not just a great shot stopper for an American. I think he's a great shot stopper, period.
Well, there you have it. Let's go Newcastle. They signed Sandro Tonali from AC Milan and Tino Livramento from Southampton. They finished fourth last year. How do you think they'll do this year?
So here's the big question with Newcastle, right? The big question with Newcastle is, are they deep enough to play Champions League and also play Premier League, right? A number of squads, and you saw it last year, right? West Ham won in Europe and almost got relegated. I think they finished 16th, 15th. But the question is this team deep enough to challenge in both competitions? And if they aren't, which one do they prioritize? I will say this: I love their away jerseys, or their third jerseys, the green and whites. As a Michigan State fan, big fan. Obviously, the fact that they're going green and white, and they are owned by a country whose colors are green and white, don't need to talk about that. It's fine. their transfer fund with Alan Saint-Maxim, where suddenly they were compliant with financial fair play because one Saudi Arabian entity sold a player to another Saudi Arabian entity for a certain amount of money. Very funny. Don't need to talk about it. But really, you go to them, and not only did they bring in those two who you mentioned, but they also brought in a Harvey Barnes, which is, to me, much more indicative of a team who knows what they're doing. Because Harvey Barnes can start and help you in the Premier League. He's not a Champions League level winger, but you know what? He can give your guys a break, right? He can give your guys a blow when you're playing Burnley on Saturday. So that to me is the type of business that I'm very, very interested in. I think that they're very good. I think that they're going to hover between, 5 and 8. I think that it's really, really tough to win, to compete at two high level competitions without the experience to do so and without the history of doing so. Because you're going to have situations where you have Alexander Isaac playing, if he plays 50, 60 games, come April, he's going to be burnt. And do you have enough behind him to give him those blows throughout the season? And if you don't, is Callum Wilson good enough to bring you down the stretch? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. I like Alexander Isaac a lot. Is Alexander Isaac good enough to play at that level for that amount of time that consistently? I don't know. There's a lot we don't know about Newcastle. Now, having said all that, there's no denying the talent that they have in that squad, right? Like, especially attacking talent. Barnes, Joel Linton, Isaac, Almiron, it's good. It's really good. In the midfield, they have good players, right? Like Bruno G is a great midfielder. Sandro Tonali is a great midfielder. If that's two out of your three and your third that you roll out is some combination of Sean Longstaff and Joe Willock and whoever else, like, that's fine. You'll be fine there. The question really remains, what is your plan for rotation, and can you get your guys to play 65 games coherently? Because the best teams play that many games, right? Between the FA Cup, between the Carabao Cup, between Champions League, and between the Premier League, it's a lot of games to play.
It adds up,
and it adds up, and especially in a year where the Euros are next summer, right? So you've got guys who maybe aren't willing to go 60 games and then go into the summer. So it's a question. It's a question. We'll see if they have the depth to do what needs to be done. I'm not sure, but we'll see.
TBD. Yeah, we'll see what happens with Newcastle. Like we said before last season, they finished fourth, but Asa thinks otherwise. Anything else before we head into your final top four and bottom three predictions?
So the only thing is that free my boy Tyler Adams. Please, someone find him a spot. And it's like, I just need to say this about Tyler Adams. Tyler Adams is really freaking good if you let him do what he's freaking good at. And I don't understand this. Like, people look at him and they're like, yeah, well, he can't make those incisive line breaking passes. Dude, he doesn't need to. He's the best defensive six, like, anywhere. He's so fast and so good at that. Just free my boy. Free my boy. Let him go to freaking AC Milan with the rest of them. Make me happy. Like, me, please.
Why do you think the Chelsea deal went off? You think it was like the medical, or is it because of Moises Caicedo, or it could be
it's
something else?
100% Caicedo. They knew that they needed a six, because Santos isn't ready. So you had to have a six next to Enzo. Whether that was to be a backup, to play alongside him. They knew they needed a Premier League level six to play in their squad, because they only have one right now. So whether it was Caicedo or Adams, I think that it makes it very easy for Adams to be able to go to both. You can go to Liverpool and say, hey, hi, I can do this Trent Arnold-Alexander thing, right back slash six. Or you can go to a Brighton, right? Hey, you have a huge hole at the base of your midfield right now. Tyler Adams, when he was healthy, showed his quality. I'm not concerned about Tyler Adams. And if he spends a year playing for Leeds, like, good on him. He gets to hang out with Russell Westbrook, who just bought Leeds, which is great.
Oh, he did.
Yep, big fan of Russell Westbrook. He didn't personally, like, he's part of some conglomeration, but whatever. Oh, yeah, but Russell Westbrook, very nice guy, owns part of Leeds.
Interesting. Did not know that. I got to look that up. But anyways, that is our preview for the Premier League. let's go into predictions. I want to start off with my predictions I made yesterday or 2 days ago for my top four and bottom three. I do think Arsenal will go up top, number one, two Man City, three Man United, which we actually did not talk about Man United. Holy crap.
There's nothing to talk about.
Well, yeah, I mean, real quick, they recruited Rasmus Højlund, Andrew Onana, new goalkeeper. Now De Gea is out. He might go to Real Madrid. And they got Mason Mount from Chelsea. So I put them at number three. And then my Liverpool at four. Who will get relegated will be Everton. They did not pick up much or anyone this past offseason. Then Sheffield United and Luton. Typically one or two of the promoted teams will get relegated. Those are my top four and three. What are yours, Mr. Asa Smith?
So first things first, I really appreciate Manchester United doing it for the lulls. There's a joke. There's a joke from The Simpsons in an episode called A Star Is Burns. It's one of the great episodes of The Simpsons, probably came out in the mid 90s, where they said, get me Steven Spielberg. And they said, we can't. Said, okay, get me his non-union equivalent. And that's what Manchester United did. Get me Erling Haaland. We can't get Erling Haaland. Get me his non-union equivalent. Haaland. Great. Cool. Manchester United will continue thinking that they've done something. Mason Mount is bad at soccer. Mason Mount isn't good. They have done nothing. Okay. That's my Manchester United preview. Manchester United will not be top four. There you go. Okay. So number one, Manchester City, like I said, it is not a smart bet at this point in the season to bet against Man City. So Man City won. Two, I actually think Liverpool. I think that as much as I sort of mentioned all of my concerns with them, I do think that they are a very good squad. And I think that ultimately you can't discount what they have. At three, I'm going to go with, and I hate to do it because of all of the crap that I've just talked. I think Chelsea, I think that they don't I don't think that they have a lot. I think that they have no games in Europe. I think that they are way too talented to stay down. And I think that you are looking at a team that is going to be very good. They've brought in so much. They've trimmed the squad. They have my favorite coach in the world. Like I really, really, and I hate Chelsea, to be fair. I very, very am anti-Chelsea, but I think that they are going to be third. And fourth, you know what? Sue me. It's the beginning of the year. I'm going to be optimistic. Just put them in. Put in Spurs. I don't care.
I was gonna put that down.
I don't care. Spurs till I die.
That'd be huge. You know, once if Harry Kane leaves and they finish top four, that'd be massive.
I don't think it's impossible. I think that they have a coach who mirrors their sort of identity. I think that Sonny has a ton of room to go forward and no defensive responsibilities anymore. I think it's there. I love the kids who they're going to start playing at fullback. I have a personal affinity for Manor Solomon off the bench. I think that he's great. I think that Kulusevski's so good. I'm very excited. James Maddison is gonna kill this year. So bottom three, I'm with you on Everton, but I'm not gonna put them one here. So put them two. Three, I really wish Luton Town wasn't going to finish with 15 points this year because they're a fun story, but they are going to get smoked. Here is who I think finishes 18.
Drum roll.
Aston Villa.
No way.
I think Aston Villa. I think that they are not very good. I think that they rode a completely unsustainable hot streak at the end of that year to get into Europe. I think that they didn't improve enough to, and all of those issues that I talked about with Newcastle, right? Do you have the depth? Can you play in multiple competitions? All of those issues at Newcastle multiplied by 1,000 for Villa. They are not good enough to play in multiple competitions. They are not deep enough. And they rode a completely unsustainable streak at the end of that year. They scored, they got 33 out of the potential 45 points at the end of last season. that rate is better than Man City. That's not real. That's not real or sustainable. And look, you know, we can talk about whether or not, you know, form is real or momentum is real. They're not. They are completely imaginary. Hot hand does not exist. And Aston Villa is not as good as they think they are. And I think if I had to guess, somewhere around January, you're going to see a team that's hanging out around 17 and they're going to panic buy. And then suddenly they're not going to be there. So West Ham, but worst.
There you have it. One of my friends predicted the Wolves because of Lopetegui getting ousted. So he thinks Wolves might be relegated.
I don't want to include Wolves just because I like them. I like their jerseys. I like the way that they look. We need fewer kits and color schemes that are the exact same, which is why Everton, you're out. We already have a Chelsea and Aston Villa. We already have a Burnley. Go home. As for Luton Town, again, I feel bad, but they're not good.
Smallest stadium for this season.
Like it's like how like every now and then you really want, like, you know, going back to conference realignment in college football, is like the first year that TCU went to the Big 12, they went 1-11. It takes some time. You got to build yourself up.
It does take time. All right. Rapid fire predictions. Arsenal versus Nottingham Forest.
Arsenal. I mean, they're a lot better than Nottingham Forest.
West Ham at Bournemouth.
Bournemouth. I don't like Bournemouth, but and they've behaved very erratically, but Bournemouth.
Luton at Brighton.
Brighton by 7.
Interesting. No McAllister or no Casado potentially. Matter. Fulham at Everton. Tim
Fulham.
Ream.
Fulham. Tim Ream and Jedi. Fulham America forever.
Crystal Palace at Sheffield United.
Palace is a weird team. We didn't talk about them, but Palace.
Go
is
ahead
a weird
if you
team.
Want to do a quick preview.
Yeah, no. I don't even know what they're doing. Right, like they got rid of a lot and they didn't bring a lot in, and they sort of had an identity under Vieira for a while, and I don't really know what they do anymore. So I'm hoping Chris Richards plays a ton. Maybe they go 3 in the back, but I'm interested to see where, like, Crystal Palace is a check with me later, as far as I'm concerned. But I think Sheffield United is not good, so Palace.
Yeah, CP.
Although I would guess a draw there, because I don't think the Palace has enough to score. So
that's right. You could say draw. There is draws in soccer. There. Aston Villa at Newcastle. I think I know where this is going.
Newcastle by a lot.
Tottenham at Brentford.
Tottenham by 7. Let's go.
The match of the weekend, Liverpool at Chelsea and Stamford Bridge.
I think Chelsea announces themselves as a serious contender with a 2-1 win.
I think it's a 1-1. Okay. I think it's going to be a draw, so, which is huge for Liverpool.
I mean, if you're able to go into Stamford Bridge and get a point, that's helpful.
That's massive. And Monday Night Football, Wolves at Man United.
Wolves, screw it. I just want the reactions. Like I'm much more in this for the fun than I am for the being right. And I can tell you, if Wolves go in and beat Man United on Monday, the meltdowns across football Twitter will be worth it. And that's what I need.
I'm interested what Rasmus Hojlund is all about, but we'll find out Monday, I guess. Asa, what is the best way to reach you online to talk to you about the Premier League and college football's realignment?
So I guess we're on Threads, but I never go there. The best place to find us is on the app formerly known as Twitter, at TLSTDS. I'm there. You know, my DMs are open. I block easily, so don't be a dick. But you know, if you at me, I'll usually respond. Yeah, excited to talk football and football and
all the footballs.
And also, like, please don't talk to me about basketball, because I have other things going on in my life, and I get drawn into these long debates and discussions. And just, like, do me a favor and just football and football, please.
If you are watching the Women's World Cup, who do you got winning it all?
Japan is a lot of fun, and they're very good. Spain beat Netherlands last night, which is nice, because Netherlands was pretty chatty and chirpy. So I wouldn't mind either of those teams. I'm going to bet Japan just because they play really, really good soccer. And I think that there's something to that.
They got eliminated by Sweden yesterday, by the way.
I know nothing. See, this is an example. I have not, once America went out, like I stopped really paying attention. So
I totally understand. I'm checked out. So, so semi-final is Spain, Sweden. And then the rest of the quarterfinals is Australia versus France, then England versus Colombia. So
England's going to lose to Colombia because Lauren James is out. And Australia, I mean, Australia on like a nice like home run would be nice. But Spain.
Yeah, Spain is looking good. So we'll find out Women's World Cup. The finale is August 20th. So we got a week left in the Women's World Cup, but there you have it. You can reach us at thesportscast.net, our website, or the Sportscast One on X and Instagram, the Sportscast One as well. We are following, as Asa said, all the footballs beginning this month and September. Well, actually this month, if you count NFL preseason, depends on your opinion.
Which you shouldn't.
Yeah, who knows? We're seeing some good football last night with the Patriots and the Texans. Oh, so
hold on. This is important. Malik Cunningham, all of you NFL fans who are like, why wasn't this dude? We told you, college football fans told you that he was fun. Listen to us when we talk. Malik Cunningham, lots
He's
of
the real
fun.
Deal. He's the real deal. Definitely.
Bryce
well, there you have it.
Punter, way to go.
There you go. Ace, I could talk all day with you. Anyways, I appreciate you coming out to the Sportscast.
Thanks for having me. Always fun.
And this was your update.